You know, if you want to live a long time, and whether you want to live long or not, it's nice to live as healthy as you can be. It's nice to live without pain. It's nice to live without debilitating illnesses. And if you want to live a long time, you're going to have to avoid many of the illnesses and diseases that are available and around for the human body. And we talked last time about various things, including deformities. We talked about Jonathan's son, how when his nurse picked him up and ran with him, she fell and crushed his ankles, and he had a debility. He was had a lameness, a debility from that fall. We also see in the book of Genesis, Jacob had two wives. One, the older sister, and the other, a younger sister. He took both of the sisters, and his Laban made him marry both. And so Leah, the older sister, did you know that she suffered from eye problems? Well, here it is in the book of Genesis, chapter 29 and verse 17. It says this, that Leah's eyes were weak. But Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Her eyes, she had eye problems. Whether it was conjunctivitis of some sort, whether she had this pink stuff, a pink eye, or something, she had some kind of debility with her eyes. The condition, we don't know. But there's a condition in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 16, that talks about a fever that wastes the eyes. I'm going to read it, Leviticus 26, verse 16. I, in turn, will do this to you, God says. Now, this is if you disobey God, you go your own way, you don't listen to God, you don't follow his commands, I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption and fever that shall waste away the eyes, from the New American Standard Version, and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies will eat it. Okay, now, whether that's some form of ophthalmia, inflammation of the eyeball, we don't know what that is. There's no firm Old Testament evidence that will give us a specific statement as to glaucoma or trachoma or various kinds of eye afflictions. There are all kinds of eye afflictions, but we don't know what it is. But you can get diseases of the eye, diseases, we have ophthalmologists. What do they major in our society today? They major in diseases of the eye. That's what they do. They look at your eye and they pick out various diseases that are going on in your eye. The Bible also talks about fevers, inflammations in your body. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in verse 21. The Lord will make the pestilence, now that's a disease epidemic, cling to you until he has consumed you. Now this again are those prophecies. If Israel throws away God's law, she throws away God's directions, she begins to violate all these things, then God says, I'll bring these things on you. He will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption. That's some the consumption diseases are here in the chest. Consumption. And with fever. And with inflammation. And with fiery heat. That's fevers, And then with the sword and the blight and the mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Fevers, inflammation. Now, there's one test that if you think that you have inflammation in your body, it's a very good test now. We have abilities to do this in our modern day. It's called the C-reactive protein test, called CRP for short. And when you have your blood test, one of the things you probably want to get is a report on your CRP. That will tell you how much inflammation is going on in your body. That inflammation, wherever it is going to attack some organ someplace in your body. It may be your heart, it may be your liver, it may be your kidney, it may be your lungs, it may be other organs, spleen, whatever. But it could be attacking. But the inflammation is the amount of inflammation in your body. And then you need to take absolute steps to detoxify your body and to bring down that inflammation if you want a long and healthy life. The CRP is a very good indicator, and we have that ability, and there's no reason in the world not to take advantage of that ability. In the book of Psalm, chapter 38 and verses 3 through 7, here's what we have. The psalmist here is, you know, talking about, you know, his condition. And listen to this condition. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester. Now, when a body's wounds, you know, your body tries to repair wounds. It's your body's constitutional direction to repair any wounds, cuts, sores, and the body does it. You'll see it. You know, you cut yourself, you have a little sore here, and it fixes, you know, it's gone away. Your body is working to repair the things. But when your body can't do that, see, my wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day, for my loins are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Now, we don't know what disease this was. We have no idea what that would be. There are many things that could mock and mimic. It could be venereal disease of some sort. It could be other kinds of diseases. But we don't know what it was. But we do know that this person's immune system is greatly reduced. We know that this person's immune system is down very low. And he doesn't have the strength to overcome these sores, these pains and these fevers and whatever else is going on in his body. I had mentioned to you sometime I had privilege of going into a doctor's office years ago, and he let me read all, you know, different books and anything I wanted. And there was a big book, you know, thick like this, I mean, you know, 3 or 4 inches thick, on skin diseases. Alone with skin disease. Of course, there were a lot of pictures in there, descriptions of various kinds of skin diseases. Well, the Bible talks about skin diseases. There are skin diseases of various kinds, definitely in the ancient world. Many of them are associated with, you know, uncleanness and, you know, they you know, the dust and so on. And you'll see it. There's a scripture in the Bible talks about the boils that come from Egypt. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy 28, and beginning in verse 27, Deuteronomy 28, dropping down now. We read Deuteronomy 28, verses 21 and 22, now dropping down to verse 27. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt, the boils of Egypt, and with tumors, and the scab, and the itch. Oh, scab on your skin, itch. You know, and so you're going to get boils. Boils, you know, are those infections around. Anybody ever have a boil? I mean, have you ever had a boil? I've had boils. Anybody ever? Okay, we've all had. Then many people have had boils. I've had boils when I was a kid. I had a lot of them. I have scars where the boils were on my wrists. I would get them on my wrists and on both sides. And I was sixth grade. I didn't know what in the world to do with them. They hurt. Boils hurt. It becomes great, big, red, and festers. And if you touch it, it hurts and boils and burns and everything. It's affection around the hair of your body. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt. Evidently, Egyptians had a lot of boils. And with the scab and the itch, in which you cannot be healed. And the Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness. And with bewilderment of heart. And you shall grope at noon as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually. And none will save you, and you shall betroth a wife, and another man will violate her, and you will build a house. And these are all the other curses. But then he goes on, your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, and so on, and your enemies will have all that, and you will yearn, and nothing you can do. And then verse 33, a people whom you do not know will take your ground, and all that. And then coming down to verse 34, and you shall be driven mad by the sight of your eyes, by what you see. Driven mad. You know, things can be so horrible that your mind, when your mind takes it in, it doesn't know how to accept it. It's so horrible that you cannot process it. And the reality, and this is what happens, why many psychologists believe that when reality becomes so overwhelmingly horrible and bad and hard to take, we recede inside our minds into a state of hallucination, what we would call being mad. And, you know, typical of that is the soldier on the front lines, and the bombs are exploding, guns are going off, the sound is deafening, people are dying, they see people shot, the enemy is shooting at you, and there's this guy, it's total confusion. You're in the dark or you're in the day, and you don't know which way to go, and some people just, they come to a place of paralysis. And there are grown men out there, and they start crying for their mommy. Mommy, mommy, like a little boy. They just like the receding crying for mommy. And they're walking around. They don't know which way to go. They're like they're groping. And all of a sudden, you know, they get shot and get killed and so on. But before they're dying, they're crying for mommy, like, I want to go back. The reality can become so horrible. And that's what he says. And you shall be driven mad by the sight, by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees. Now, here's another thing. Strike you on the knees and the legs with sore boils. Now, here are those boils, you see, from which you cannot be healed. You cannot be healed. And from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Now, in Egypt, and talk about the boils in Egypt. And the Bible talks about these boils, and it must have come from a lot of the dust, because the Bible mentions this in the book of Exodus, chapter 9 and verse 9. Look at this. And it will become like the fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and will become boils breaking out with sores on man, beast, throughout all the land. Now, this is an interesting statement, because if you've ever been to Egypt, the phrase, the fine dust over all the land of Egypt. And that is absolutely the case. When we got to Egypt, somebody said, you know, if you have a camera, until you're ready to take pictures, put it in a plastic bag and seal it, tie the plastic bag around your camera, because there is so much fine dust everywhere, it will get inside the mechanism of your camera. So I had my camera held in a plastic bag. Then when I got ready to take a picture, I would take it out and take shots, but as soon as I was done, put it back in the plastic bag, because there's so much fine dust. Well, of course, you're breathing it, you know. You're breathing that dust if you're in Egypt. But your body has a way of processing it. It collects it on, you know, the cilia in the hair that line your nose, and you have a mucus that lines it, that kills germs and stops it, and so on. And when you swallow it, you know, breathe it, and it gets in your mouth, and you swallow it. You have the first line process of your stomach, which has hydrochloric acid, kill out any germs and stuff like that. So your body has immune system is working. Absolutely, constantly. Perhaps these were pustules. We don't know. You know, it was one of the plagues of Egypt. You know, and the plagues that Moses did. One of the plagues was boils, and we talked about the itch. You know, that many of those could be maybe the scabies and spider mites and other things that get inside the infection. We don't know all that. The Bible doesn't really delineate. It just talks about these diseases in a broad way. Now you have the diseases of Leviticus chapter 13. And definitely an infection here. And this is supposed to be the priest is supposed to delineate and give a differential diagnosis for what this disease is. This is Leviticus chapter 13, verses 29 and 30. Now, if a man or a woman has an infection on the head or on the beard, so that the priest shall look at the infection, and if it appears to be deeper than the skin, okay, so here's a factor. Is it just a skin infection at the top of the surface of the skin, or is it deeper than the surface of the skin? And there is thin yellowish hair in it, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. That is, he's got to be segregated, he's got to be isolated, quarantined. It is scale. It is leprosy of the head or the beard. If it goes below the surface of the skin, then it's diagnosed as leprosy. In chapter 14 of Leviticus, beginning in verse 54, this is the law for any mark of leprosy, even for a scale and for the leprous garment or house, and for a swelling, and for scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when they are unclean and when they are clean. That is, when they will spread. This is the law of leprosy. So the priest had a specific direction how to analyze that scab, that skin problem. Is it leprosy? Should this person be quarantined? Should this person be put away? So there were definite skin problems. There were definite skin diseases in Old Testament times, and we have skin diseases today. If you were to go around the world and you see people in very poverty-stricken areas where the sewage is not proper, where you know they don't have modern cleanliness and things like that, and where people have had poor diets, their skin is often just scaly. It doesn't have good oils, and you know you're in a poor diet area. Your skin gets very dry. You don't have good resistance to things on the skin. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Therefore the Lord will afflict you." This is a promise from Isaiah to Israel. "Therefore the Lord will afflict the scalp of the daughters of Zion with scabs, and the Lord, the Eternal, will make the foreheads bare." So the scalp will scabs in it. Now, what that scab is? Some kind of fungus disease? Yellow crusts may be over it. Maybe it's infections around the follicles of the hair. We don't know. We don't know exactly what it is because the Bible doesn't specifically say this. Bible talks in very broad terms. Although we've seen some here, there are fevers, there are scabs, there are this, there are that. There are many things that afflict the human body. Now, when we come to the New Testament, you see that Jesus went out. What did he do? He healed many diseases. I'm going to stop in Matthew chapter 4 just to show you in verse 23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee. And this is what it says, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and, listen, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Now, that's what the Bible talks about, every kind of disease. So when you say every kind of disease, disease then has to be a large abstraction, including all kinds of maladies, right? Large abstraction. And every kind of illness, every kind of sickness, every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. You would say, well, what's the difference between a disease and a sickness? Well, that's because they use two different Greek words here. One Greek word is the word nosos, which means sickness or, you know, a disease. It can be translated disease, sickness. And the other one is malakia, which means a bodily condition of weakness, debility, sickness. It can be translated sickness. and you're in that state. So nosos is a general term for disease. What's wrong with him? You know, the person would say. And you say, he's sick. Yeah. And we know he's sick, but what's wrong with him? Well, that's because he's sick. Okay? It's sort of like, well, what's wrong with this car? It's broken. You know, it doesn't give you much diagnosis, right? What's wrong with it? It's not. It doesn't work. That's what's wrong with it. It doesn't work. It's broken. Well, these are very broad categories, and that's what the New Testament talks about in general. The New Testament words for sickness and disease are very broad, would include many kinds. Now, there are some specifics, like a person who can't walk, a person who can't see, a person who is deaf. But other than that, there are various kinds of nosos, which means sickness. Various kinds of, in this case, I'm reading from the New American Translation, they kind of disease, that's the word nosos, every kind of sickness, and that's the word malakia, which is a condition of debility in the body. That same word is used in chapter 9, verse 35 of Matthew. It's used in chapter 10, verse 1. But an interesting thing that most of us would never topple to, it comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 3. You remember this is a prophecy of the suffering servant, which is a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah 53, verse 3, here's what it says. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, that's the way that we translate the Hebrew. When the Septuagint version translated that word, they translated the word acquainted with grief, they translated malakia. He was acquainted with sickness, debility, a weakness of the body. He was acquainted with that. And from one whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Let me read that in the New English Translation, Isaiah 53 and verse I think the King James calls it, he's a man of sorrow and acquainted with what? Acquainted with what, Steve?
Grief.
Grief. They use the word grief too. Okay. But here's the New English translated. He was despised and rejected by people. One who experienced pain and was acquainted with illness. Malakia, illness. People hid their faces from him and he was despised. Now, whether Jesus was acquainted with illness because he had illness, I know that our teaching was he was never sick a day in his life, he could never have been sick, or whether he was acquainted with illness because he was around people who were sick and understood illness, that's interpretable. That's interpretable. But it does say he was acquainted. He was a man of sorrows. Was he ever sorrowful? Probably. The more wisdom, the more sorrow, says the proverb. The more you know, the more sorrowful you become. All right, let's take a look at another Greek word that is very much used in the way of sickness. Here in the book of Acts, chapter 5, you remember the apostles were going out. People had such faith in them. They were healing people and so on. So much so that in Acts chapter 5 and verse 15, they said it was to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets. Let's bring them. So that they laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any of them and it would be healed. Remember, imagine, had such faith in these apostles and the gift of healing that they had. Let's have Peter, he's going to walk by here. The sun's over there. Put your cots here and maybe Peter's shadow will pass over them and they will be healed. That's amazing. Now, they brought and they carried, it says they carried the sick. The Greek word here for sick is a word that we have. It's called asthenia. Asthenia. It means to be weak. To be weak. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17 is a quote from Isaiah 53. You remember? This was to fulfill what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities, and that Greek word is asthenia, carried away our diseases. The Greek word is nosos. He took our infirmities, in other words, our weaknesses. So the Greek word, when they brought out the sick, but think about it. If you get sick, are you strong? No, you feel very weak. You ever have the flu? You feel very weak. I mean, you get so tired. Your body just gets so tired. You get so weak. And when you're looking at someone's general health pattern, the weaker they become, they start losing weight, they start feeling weak, they can't stand, they have this weakness. You start seeing it on their faces and in their bodies, this weakness starting to come over them. That draining of your life's energy and the life force, that draining away of the life force is a significant sign you're on your way. Now, my grandmother had, she's from the ancient world, of course, but she was totally ignorant. You know, she never had any education. She never could read or write. But, she only learned what she learned from other people and what they told her and what they talked, what they handed down. But every time when she would see somebody, if you started to lose much weight, she would feel you, arm and everything. And if it looked like you were getting weaker, instead of building up and being, stronger and, gaining weight and looking strong, because she always felt you should carry a few extra pounds. Not in like in our society, everyone, oh, no, you can't be too thin in our society. But back there, you needed a few extra pounds because if you got sick, what happened? You lost weight. Sickness takes weight away. Now, you don't have to have a lot of extra pounds, but a few extra pounds is good. Because when you get sick, you're going to lose weight. You're going to drop it. You need to have resources. You don't want to drop too much. You don't want to get too thin. You don't want to get weak. And people who get weak, that's they're fighting, and you start getting weaker and weaker and down. And you need reserves. You need energy. You need power to overcome the forces that are against you in the way of the disease. Now, I take that even into the area of depression. I tell my clients that when you are weak, when you don't have energy, every problem you face looks large. Okay, when the problems you have are greater than the energies you have to solve them, they look enormous, right? And then you just get, oh, I can't do it. You just go into the state of depression. These problems are overwhelming me. They're more than I can do. Your energy level will determine how you can handle your problems. When you don't have good energy level, your problems just begin to overwhelm you. You must have the energy to deal with them. So weakness is not good. And that's what this Greek word means. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 13, but you know, he says, that it was because of a bodily illness, that means weakness, and asthenia is the Greek word, it's because of my weakness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. I'm reading that from the New American Standard Version, but let me read it in the MacDonald Idiomatic Translation, Galatians 4, verse 13. You know that in the beginning of our relationship, when I evangelized you, I did so while being physically debilitated. I was not healthy when I first came to you. I came to you in sickness, in a state of weakness. I think King James used the word weakness there. Infirmity, yeah. Infirmity. It used the word infirmity there, but the word is asthenia, means a state of weak. I'm not well. But asthenia could be you are sick. You're not well because you're weak. Because sickness makes you weak. Now the word weak, we is like when the rest of the time when the Bible uses weak, if it's not referring to a bodily illness, it's used just like you use it and I use it in our daily lives. You know, we'll say, well, so and so is he's too weak to stand up to his boss, or she's too weak to stand up to her husband, or he's too weak to stand up to his wife, or you know, what do we mean weak? We mean they just doesn't have the gumption, the fortitude, the mental and emotional strength. So we can use it as a form of actual weakness. We can talk about people who are weak in the faith, and the Bible uses that word, asthenia. He's too weak. You know, under the weak, Paul says, I became like a weak person because they were weak in the faith. So it was not a matter there of disease. It's the same word that we use, and we use it. You know, if you go in to see somebody in the hospital and you look at them and you come out and they say, well, how was so-and-so? And you say, well, he looked very weak. He was very weak. Okay, we use the word weak, and we're referring to it in a state of health. His weakness is having to do with his health. When you talk about somebody in the faith, you say, well, he's pretty weak in faith. You know, he doesn't have much faith. He's weak in the faith, and he doesn't understand, and so on. So this is the way that word is used. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul was forced by the Corinthians because they admired these false apostles so much. And he was forced to brag. But then he, in chapter 12, he says, well, I want to tell you about a man I knew who went up into the third heaven. And he saw things and did these things. And then he says in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, on behalf of such a man, I will boast. I'm going to boast about that guy. I'm going to tell you about a guy. Of course, he's talking about himself. I want to boast about that man, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except in regard to my weaknesses, my asthenia, my weaknesses, asthenioi, it would be a plural. I will not do it except in my weaknesses. Now, when Paul was writing to Timothy, now Paul had a number of weaknesses. And he said, I'll talk about my weaknesses, my shortcomings. And it could be spiritual weaknesses, could be personal weaknesses, it could be his physical debilities. He said, I'll talk about my weaknesses. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul wrote to Timothy, no longer drink water. I'm going to read this from the New I think it's the New American Standard Version, but no longer drink water exclusively. They put the word, which is not in there. It's not in the Greek. But they interpret this. No longer drink water. If you take this literally, okay, let's say you want to take the Bible literally because you don't have any sense. Okay, you're I'm going to take this just literally, and it does say no longer drink water. I'm not going to touch water. Only wine, beer, this and that. I will not have any water anymore. And believe me, I have clients that don't virtually never touch water. I say, don't you drink any water? You just drink soda, soda. All you drink is these sodas. It's either either what we call the diet sodas, or you drink the regular sodas with all that chemical the chemical high fructose corn syrup. It's going to make you a diabetic. That's what you drink. You don't drink. We have no appreciation for water. Oh, I can't stand water. I don't like the taste of water. And you know, people take their little kids. Here's how you get where your kids won't take water. You take your little kids into a restaurant, and when they have a meal, you get them a soda with every time they drink a meal as their little kids. After a while, their taste gets so used to that sweet stuff with every meal. They end up becoming adults. They have to have that soda with every meal. I eat lunch, I have to have a Coke. I eat dinner, I have to have a Sprite. I have to have, terrible, terrible, terrible. Drink water. We got good water, drink it. You say, well, I'd rather have that because our water Our water comes from the Colorado River and from some wells in here, and I don't know how good it is. Well, where do you think the water comes from when they make Coca-Cola? There's a big Coke plant down in Downey, and they just turn on the tap water in Downey and pour it in there to make Coke, and then they add this coloring, flavoring, and the phosphoric acid, and then they shoot it with some of that gas, carbonated gas, and then you drink it. Now, whoa, I'm drinking this. This is not water. Oh, yeah. Water plus. So no longer drink water, and it means exclusively, but use a little wine. For the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments, infirmities, I think the King James says. Infirmities. But the word is asthenioi, your weaknesses. Your body has different weaknesses. You know, everybody's body has some weakness. Years ago, I used to admire some people that I knew at the college and everything, and I had cavities. I had fillings in my teeth. I just had a lot of problems with my teeth, and lucky I have teeth today. But anyhow, my friends, I asked this guy, "Do you have any cavity?" No, he never had a cavity. Never had a cavity. His mouth was completely healthy, but what he had, his back would go out. He had weak ligaments, and it would, his hands, his thumbs would go out. And he had other kinds of weaknesses. You know, there are various weaknesses in the world. Some people have weak eyes. Some people have, weak ears. Some people have, weak arches. Some people have weak backs. Some people have weak teeth. Everybody has some kind of weaknesses. Certain people have weak everything. No, I don't think so. But we all have strengths and weaknesses and different ones. Everybody knows, your own ailments. You know what is plaguing you the most and the weakness of your body. Everybody knows it. There are weaknesses, definitely. So this means an incapacity for something, a limitation, meaning a weakness. We have a weakness in us. And Paul says, I'll just boast about my weaknesses. I'm not going to boast about anything else but my weaknesses. If I must boast, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 30, I will boast about the things that show my weakness. That's what he wanted to do. And in 2 Corinthians 12, and verse 9 and 10, he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you. He was talking to God to take this away from him, take this this thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness, that asthenia. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, and with insults, and with distresses, and persecutions, and difficulties, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am strong. See, sometimes you get stronger when you accept and recognize your weakness. And then your limitations, your weakness is a limitation too, If I have a limit, somebody said, well, can you lift that? How much is it? 200 pounds. Can you pick it up and put it over here? I have a limitation. I don't think I can lift that right now without hurting my back. I'm going to hurt myself. Now, there was a time when I actually could lift 200 pounds. I did lift it off the ground. But I cannot do that now without probably hurting myself. So you have to know your limitations, your weaknesses. And as spiritually, when we know our weaknesses, we actually become stronger because now we cast ourselves onto God. Knowing our weaknesses brings us to God. And you heard in the song, you be still and see what God can do. Your strength ran out. So you have to turn to God, who can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And Paul says, I know this. When I am weak, then I am strong. I'm stronger in faith because I have to cast myself on God who can save me. And Jesus does save. We'll talk more about illness, strength, and disease, and ways in which you right now can improve your life and your health next time.